chapter 1 yet again this morning. You might wonder why. This isn't necessarily an Advent sort of passage, but the reason that I chose John and these verses all throughout Advent is because sometimes we need to hear stories again and again, because those stories get better every time we hear them. Sometimes what we need is not something new, but we need to be reminded of the familiar story that gives us comfort and hope and joy and peace once again. You know, I was doing something like that, shall we say, this week. I've been a little under the weather. I got the gift of antibiotics for Christmas with a nice lung infection, so it's just a little low-powered one evening, and I don't know what you think pastors do at home when they're sick. Rather than my normally, contemplating deep thoughts and reading people writing about stuff centuries ago, I decided to do something else that was spiritual. I turned on the TV, and I was going to find Hogan's Heroes, which is my normal standby. That's where I get all my German from. But something else popped up on the glories of Roku. Chuck Norris. Oh. And they had them all, right? All of these 90s and 80s movies from my childhood. And so I picked out one, and it was every bit as good as I remembered. It was so cheesy. It was glorious. I don't know what could make you feel better than that. You know, the great thing about a Chuck Norris movie is everything is very clear. Right? There's none of this, modern, sophisticated ambiguity. Is he a hero or not? We're not sure. No, Chuck Norris is clearly the hero. From the second that he gets on his motorcycle and rides up and goes toward the bad guys, you know good and evil. You know right and wrong, and you know that good's going to win. Right? That's just what it is, and it's well, we're going to see someone far better than Chuck Norris in our verses today, but no less clear. Just as, any action movie goes to great lengths to show you who the hero is, and you cheer alongside him or her as they go about their journey of righting wrongs and bringing justice, so today we are going to see the, capital T, underlined, hero pointed out for you and for me again. And I pray, and I have been praying, that as we see our Savior pointed to once more, that your heart and your mind would be just as thrilled by him, even more thrilled by him than anything else that thrills your soul. So if you're not there yet, why don't you turn to John chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 29, John chapter 1, verse 29. And much like any movie, we're going to see the one we've been waiting for. Right? That's how you start here. So we've moved forward in time now in John, and the camera is settling in on John the Baptist. So not the author of the Gospel, John, but John the Baptist. And if you need a little reminder, just prior to these verses, we read that John was doing all he could to clearly state his mission. He was making very clear, hey guys, I'm not the Messiah. That's not me. I mean, everyone kind of wondered. He was saying these messages from God. He was living in ways that made folks kind of wonder, is that the guy? Could it be him? And yet John was very clear. He's like, no, it's not me. And he quoted from Isaiah chapter 40, saying that instead he had come to prepare the ground, to ready the way, to clear the path and get everyone's eyes and attention and focus ready to see the Messiah. And then we get these verses. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And so now we've come to the scene where John's preparations, where John's own mission, that's being fulfilled. He sees Jesus and he declares, you know, this guy, him, he is the Lamb of God. But what's more, John also declares what Jesus' mission is. Right? Christ is the one who has come to take away the sin of the world. I mean, brothers and sisters, dwell there for just a moment with thankfulness. John's just told us the most encouraging news that there is. There is no better news than this. Right? Nothing that you will hear, nothing that you will read online, nothing that your favorite author or commentator or whoever you follow on YouTube, nothing that they will say can be better than this. God has sent the Lamb. Not like the lambs of the Old Testament sacrifices had to be offered time and again as a placeholder, as a sacrifice for sin. No, the Lamb, capital L, who would be the fulfillment of what every lamb, every sacrifice of God's people had been pointing to for generation upon generation. A lamb who would come to judge perfectly and completely, as Revelation chapter 5 tells us. Yes, that lamb, John was saying, he's there. He's here. He's come. And come to do what? To take away sin. To deal with it forever and completely and entirely. You know, if you're sitting here today and that's new news to you, then here are your marching orders. Right? Don't leave today just kind of with that sort of apathy that's so common in our culture of, oh, okay, that's cool, whatever. All right, what's next? What's Roku got on? No, instead, don't leave today without asking yourself, how will you respond to that lamb? How will that news change you? I mean, the entire point of news is that you do something with it, right? You live differently. You think differently. You act differently. Right? Maybe you heard about McDonald's a month ago and you thought, I don't think I'm going to order the slivered onions on my quarter pounder for a little while here, right? That news was meant for you to do something a little different. Okay, well, here's news about Jesus. What will you do with the news of how God himself, God in the flesh, has dealt with your sin, your imperfection, your brokenness? Will you trust him? Will you respond to him? Will you follow him? Right? This is the good news, that there's a cure for what ails us, a decisive truth about all that's wrong with the world. Will you trust this Messiah? Do so. It would be better than any gift under a tree. After telling us then this jaw-dropping news of who Jesus is, John then says something about his own connection to Christ. And it comes in two parts. Here's the first. John makes sure that all hearing him know that this is the one he has been speaking about. So John's not going on a sideshow. He's not saying, oh, hey, you know, I'm preparing the way. Oh, this guy over here is really cool. You might want to, you know, add him to your podcast feed. Listen to him too. No, John's making clear, hey, when I keep saying I'm not the one, but I'm preparing for the one, he is the one. This guy, right here. It's unexpected as that may seem. So John's entire work, his entire testimony, all that he's been doing and waiting for and diligently working toward, that's now fulfilled with the arrival, with the person, the work of Jesus. And that reality is what makes John's second statement all the more shocking. John John didn't somehow have all the details of this beforehand. It's not like John had the, you know, the hidden playbook. Oh, it's you know, Sunday, 2020. Today's the day. I got it on my day timer, you know. No. It's not that John had a photo of Jesus just waiting to meet up with him. Instead, John had been given a calling by God, and his role was to be faithful to that calling. Those of you who are Christians today can take real practical comfort from this. You and I rarely have all the details that we might want in life. Right? Should I pick up the phone and call that person who's been on my mind today? You know, there's a big meeting at work, and I'm really not sure. Do I speak up, or is it best if I just kind of, you know, maybe I can come back around and talk to the boss one-on-one, or, you know, hey, you know, do I ask that girl to marry me? Do I, right? Sometimes we've got all these questions, all these details, and we're not always sure. Okay, do I do this or not? Know this. Understand this. You may not have every detail you want, but by God's grace, we have every detail that is necessary to be found faithful, that we would safely be seen home with Christ forever. Think about that for a moment. I think sometimes we believe that the details about daily life here and now are the most important things. And this life does matter. God has put us here for a purpose, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. That's true. I don't want to minimize any of that. I was just reading in my own devotions out of Joshua that the people of Israel make this massive mistake, all because they didn't ask the Lord about one daily situation. And so by all means, yes, bring to the Lord. What do I say in this meeting? Lord, what is wise here? What's wise with this relationship? What's wise with my family? Yes, yes, and amen. But understand this. Whatever questions you do have, whatever places where you just wish you had more guidance, a spiritual GPS, what is clear is your eternity if you will trust Jesus, if you will follow after Him, if you will say, okay, Lord, I don't have all the details, but You've told me the details that I do need. You know, our marching orders aren't the same as John's, that's true, but our faithfulness should be no less than his. John was faithful with what the Lord had told him. He trusted the Lord, patiently waiting for more to be revealed. Will you be likewise faithful and patient, following after Jesus all your days? Will you trust the Lord, even when He's not chosen to answer every possible question you could come up with? But instead, will you walk by faith and not by sight? Right? That is one of the calls that we see here. This is part of what it is to trust our King. John's mission then was to prepare Israel for the arrival of the Messiah. Your mission and mine is to keep proclaiming this Messiah, to keep talking about and pointing to Jesus until He calls us home or He returns, just as promised. Our mission may not necessarily be always easy, but it is clear. It is direct. Ask the Lord to give you confidence in Him and in His plan in the days ahead. So the first part then of John's sermon is this. Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Rejoice. Right? Respond. Now here comes the second part of John's mini-sermon. This Jesus is the Son of God. Look at verse 32. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on Him. I myself did not know Him, but He he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Right, this is the one that God had said was coming. You and I might ask then, you know, okay, how exactly did John know? I mean, if he doesn't have the photo, if he doesn't have that cool feature on your phone where it's, you know, on Google Maps where you can kind of like share your location so you guys can meet up somewhere. If John doesn't have that, how does he know Jesus is the guy? How could he be so sure? It's a good question. And our God, in his grace, answers it in these verses. John knew who Jesus was because God had told him what to be looking for. Verse 32 refers to Christ's baptism. The other Gospels say more of that. We'll get to that in another sermon series. But for John's purposes, what we need to most see here, most understand here, is that the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. Why that point? Well, the first reason is because that was the sign that God himself had told John. Wonder why a dove? Why not a cardinal? One of my favorite birds, by the way. Well, why a dove? Oh, okay, we can say some things about doves in the Bible and stuff like that, but the point is, God had said, here's the sign. Just watch for that. Trust me here, John. Right? Don't miss that God didn't reveal every detail, every answer that John might have had some questions about, but the Lord did tell him what was needed in order for him to faithfully complete his calling. It's no different for you or me. Don't let your questions paralyze you. Yes, ask them, but trust. You know, we live in a world that craves certainty and yet often rebels once we do have certainty. Friends, we can have true certainty about all that we need to know. And we can fully trust the Lord for the things that we still have questions about. Faith, then, is not the absence of questions, but it's also not having every single question answered. No, faith is trust. It's belief. It's looking to the Lord as your God and King, and then living and doing and hoping and believing as he has called you to. Trust him because he is God, and we are not. This is exactly what John did. Now, the second reason why this sign of a dove descending is important is because it fills out part of the picture of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 11 gives that, where the Spirit rests upon him. Understand this, then. Jesus is not just another John, you know, another prophet telling people what God has said, important as that is. He's not even just another King, kind of like a, you know, a new version of David. Okay, we've been waiting. No one's ever been as great as David. Now we finally got one. No, Jesus eclipses every prophet, every priest, every king. And John's whole goal was to shine the spotlight on Jesus and say, this is the one. He is the one. Jesus is fully God. And he's also fully man. You know, it's important that we grasp and hold on to those two truths. That's not just some theological debate from centuries ago of, okay, you know, a bunch of these people had way too much time on their hands. Why should I care? No. It's because only when we see that Jesus is fully God do we realize that he has the power and the authority to deal with our sin, to uphold every promise that God has made for a hope and a kingdom and a love that will not end. And it's also only when we see Jesus as fully man that we see and understand and can comprehend that he doesn't just have the authority, but that he himself has done the work. He was faithful where Israel was not. Wonder what all those temptations in the desert, that Satan were about, each one of them is pointing back to a way that Israel has failed their God, and yet Jesus did not. This same Jesus upholds all of the law. He doesn't break any part of it. He doesn't say, we're going to ignore this and that. No, instead he has come, he tells us to fulfill the law and fulfill it to the fullest. And this perfect one who did not deserve death or condemnation, the only one who hasn't, instead willingly chose it. He laid down his life and he did it so that we who don't deserve life could receive it instead. Right? John's message is this: our King is God, and our God is our King. That is the best news possible. Now, one more point as we conclude. Jesus is the Lamb. John makes clear that this Lamb is the Son of God. To be the Son of God means that Jesus is more than a teacher, more than a prophet. He's more than just an especially holy person. Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. That's why Christmas is such a big deal. It's more than a tradition or a holiday. I mean, it is that, I realize. But at least if celebrated with our eyes on Christ, if celebrated Christianly, actually Christianly, then what Christmas is doing is it's pointing us to Christ. Right? It's more than presents and family and candles and trees or a day off from work, as good as all those things are. But all those things, that whatever good is in them, should point us to the best thing, the best one. God is with his people. He has come to save us from our sins. He even now intercedes for us and prepares a place for we who shall someday be with him. I wonder, have you received that gift? It's offered by the Lord to you. Far better than a new iPhone, whatever else is on your wish list this year. And we're talking about something that doesn't require batteries. A gift that's never going to grow stale. You'll never outgrow or be bored with Jesus. You'll never regret the eternal life that he promises either. And I wonder, is that gift of a relationship with God himself yours? Have you received it? Have you responded to this Jesus? And if not, then this Christmas can be the one where you receive him as your King, as your Lord, as your Savior. Simply trust him. Thank him for his work on the cross. Follow after him as your King and your Master. If you do trust Jesus, that's where you are today with the Lord. I wonder, how are you responding to his love? Do you have joy at what God has done? Genuine thankfulness and worship because you're loved by God. Brothers and sisters, whatever else may come, whatever sins we may commit, whatever tragedies we go through in this broken life, this broken world, understand this. God's love for you is not something that grows stale or expires. It's not something that you have one day and then lose and then re-earn the next. Now, the good news of Jesus Christ is that God has first loved us. His love isn't contingent upon how many chapters of the Bible you've read in the Bible reading plan this year. No, instead, his love is given. And it's given as a gift for you and I to respond to. You can have it in Christ Jesus. And if you do have it, respond in worship. Respond in thankfulness. Let's do that now as we pray. Heavenly Father, such a simple truth. For anyone here who's already a Christian, this is a truth that they've heard before. Maybe even right here from John. Probably even many times. And yet we thank you that for the best stories of the universe, the ones that are true, hearing them again is no boring thing. But instead, each time we hear it, we get to savor anew our Savior, our King. We get to dwell once more, thinking on how our great King is doing great things, including remaking all things, including us. Lord, maybe there is someone here today who this is brand new news, and if so, I pray that your greatness and goodness, that your love would change them through the power of your Holy Spirit today, that they would receive this best of gifts. Lord, for us all, I ask that we would simply now, as we lift our voices together, that we would simply respond in worship. We say wow when we see the special effects of some movie, or we give our time and attention to whatever our newest hobby or gadget or whatever is. Lord, how much more, I pray, fix our eyes.